Hey everyone, welcome to Three Guys One Up. I am Keith Shirley. You can call me Jesus.
And I'm David, or Spurgling.
And I am Spencer. I also go by Mako.
Today we're talking. There's some great shit happening in gaming right now. Unfortunately, COVID canceled E3, but kind of gave us a little bit more. As home gamers, people not going to E3, we got to see a lot of shit just kind of fired out at us because everybody was doing their own events. So we're going to be talking about some of that today. But first, I wanted to start out just by asking my boys here what you guys been gaming on. David, what have you been playing lately?
Mostly just getting down on some Magic Arena, trying to build some decks that I don't get my ass kicked with consistently.
Yeah, that can be kind of tough in that game. I feel like it always throws a counter at you of some sort. You might get like one good game out of five, but the rest of the time you're battling a counter deck.
Yeah, pretty much. I've been seeing a lot of, I don't even know the card names off the top of my head. There's this Witch's Cauldron deck that just like recycles this cat that drains life from you every time it comes in. There's a couple decks that when I see them, it's like, why am I even playing this game?
I know you play a lot of that, Spencer, as well.
I do. Yeah, it's one of the games I play almost consistently. I don't think I've taken a single day off of that game since it came out of beta.
Nice.
The standard meta game is, I don't know, it's a little messed up right now. It seems very blue-green heavy. Like you said, either hard control decks or just breakneck aggro. It seems like there's not much you can do anywhere in between. But they're a lot more willing to ban cards lately. I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing, but it's definitely a change, especially in standard. So we'll see where it goes from here.
One cool aspect that I do like about Arena as well is whenever there's a new set coming out, you can hop on Arena and play those cards, get those decks, and start seeing how they really actually play. You know, sometimes you're reading the teasers and it's like, damn, this card seems really cool. Then you actually get it in a deck and it's like, this fucking sucks. So actually getting to like play test some of the new shit coming out is a pretty cool advantage of having a digital set as well as a hard copy set.
Yeah, and I think that's been the biggest game changer with Arena, really, is, I mean, even the people who were tournament grinders and doing, you know, practicing with friends multiple days a week, it was still far fewer games of Magic being played to be able to solve a metagame. Just because you had to have someone else to play with, you had to meet up somewhere, you had to own the cards or at least make proxies. Whereas in Arena, I mean, I can play 30, 40 games of Arena a day if I really put my mind to it.
Right.
Against
all different kinds
of better, right? People far better than me are gonna figure out that metagame way quicker than it was before.
Yeah, understandable. It is pretty interesting how the digital side of it has changed the physical side of it as well. Yeah, I've actually been having a tough time figuring out what to play lately, so I re-downloaded The Witcher, the first one, and I'm just going to play through all three Witchers. That's my game plan right now, because I've been bored as hell. I was thinking of hopping on that season 4 of Call of Duty, playing some Warzone, but after this last season, I'm just kind of burnt out of it. It's a fun game. It's probably one of the best, if not the best, battle royales out right now, but I went so hard on season 3 that it's just like I don't even know if I want to get into season 4, at least at the beginning.
Yeah, I get that. I'm really not a huge battle royale fan overall, but I did have a little fun playing Warzone, so I get that for sure.
You said you maxed out this last season's pass, right?
Like, yeah, I maxed out the pass. I got every ribbon. I mean, I went really hard on it, and yeah, like I said, it's a great game. It's a lot of fun, but it's also, it just kind of wears on you. Like any battle royale, I feel like all of them have done that. I started playing battle royales way back in the day, playing some Arma 3 battle royale, you know, and DayZ type shit. And it's really fun in the moment, and you get your groove, you get to feeling good in that game. Then it just, I don't know. I have video game ADD where it's like, okay, this has run its course for me. Same thing with like Fortnite. I played a bunch of Fortnite when it first came out, and it's a great game. It has a lot of different aspects that other battle royales don't, and it's just a really good game, but I can only play it for so long, and once I stop playing it, I just never look back.
I get that. The amount of games sitting on my shelf that I have put anywhere from 5 to 20 hours in without ever finishing is way too high.
Yeah, I understand that. Most of my Steam library isn't even downloaded. It just sits there until it's like, huh, maybe I'll install this one and see how it goes for the next couple of days, and then I'll uninstall it like a week later when I haven't played it at all.
And that'll be it forever.
All right, so moving on, let's talk about some of the new stuff in gaming coming out. I think we'll come back around to some Magic talk later, but there's some really great expos. I took some notes on some of the IGN expo and the PlayStation 5 event, and there was a couple others that I caught, but we can talk about those another day. There's just way too much gaming news coming out right now to get through, but some games that I'm really looking forward to, I have stars next to, are Chivalry 2. Man, I love the first Chivalry. That game is just so much fun. And seeing the big battles come back again in that first-person shooter, but with lances and swords and shit, it's just going to be so much fun.
I never did get down on any Chivalry. I heard about it a lot.
I thought it was just a great concept for a game because it took it in a different direction. And there's a game out now called Mordhau, I believe, that's kind of similar, but it does have its differences from Chivalry, so I'm really excited for the second one to come out later on this year. It'll be on all platforms, and it will have crossplay at the release, which is really cool.
Yeah, I pulled up the trailer for Chivalry 2. I never played the first one either, but man, it looks fantastic.
Yeah, there's
that medieval combat style is something that I remember being a kid and talking about that kind of game. I always wanted that kind of gameplay, and I just don't think it was ever feasible when I was younger. But man, this looks fantastic.
And the battles are supposed to be like, they're supposed to throw you out there with a shit ton of people just battling, which is really cool. So you get the feeling of these big battlefield-esque FPSs, but it's all that medieval fighting. I think that's just a really great idea. I'm glad they're bringing it back because I think it'll hit. It'll touch on some notes that people have been missing out on for a while. You know, I love first-person shooters, but I'm also 32 years old, so. My quick twitch reflexes aren't quite what they used to be. I can't go throw down headshots in Halo all day. So something like this is going to scratch that itch, but have a little something different on it as well.
Did you ever, were you ever big into Battlefield 2 back in the day?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I want, and maybe this game will have it. Like I said, I'm really looking into Chivalry 2, but, I think it would be absolutely fantastic to have a game mode similar to Battlefield 2, where I don't know if you remember this, but you could go into these giant, I think it was 64 person battles online, but one person from each side could assume the general role and get top-down view of the battlefield, directing squads, sending in supply drops and stuff. I think a game like this with medieval combat and incorporating something like like a tactician, kind of a general role would be fantastic in addition to that first person, really bloody in your face combat.
That'd be cool. Like having somebody directing the foot soldiers this way, sending cavalry out this way. That would be really fucking cool.
Right. Being able to see kind of an overview or even from like a hill, like it would have actually been.
You're standing there with your bannermen.
The enemies are countering, on the left flank, and kind of just trying that tactical element to it.
Yeah, that would be freaking sweet.
It's really interesting that Chivalry 2 is going to drop with all platform crossplay.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about that. I'm hoping we just see more and more of that happening all the time. In a game like that, I don't see a lot of conflict between controller and keyboard and mouse. In fact, I'll probably get it on PC and play with a controller. It's probably that type of first person shooter. I'm not going to need to get headshots. I just need to swing my axe at somebody's face.
Right. Yeah. I don't think it would be near as big of a deal for this. I know we have a little bit of a disagreement on just how big of an effect that can have, but for a game like this, I don't think it, yeah, I don't think it would matter much at all.
Yeah.
Good to see that coming through more and more games. David, you were mentioning No Man's Sky is doing the same thing.
No Man's Sky is doing the same thing. There's
they already did. Games. The update happened. They yeah, pushed it out
done. Like, we're there.
Immediately. Yeah.
I'm just very excited to see more and more titles going full crossplay.
Yeah, I fully agree. The big problem with a lot of that, though, is people not wanting to play with PC players because there's a lot of filthy, filthy hackers out there that suck the fun out of a lot of games. So
filthy hackers.
It was what was happening. They were plaguing Warzone there for a while. They might still even be quite a bit of hackers on there. So you're seeing a decrease of console players checking that box to play with all platforms, and they would just turn that off and start playing with themselves. Because for some reason, those PC nerds just really, really like to hack shit. And that, yeah, it does take the fun out of it. So I do understand that side of it. But on the controller side of things, with a game like this, Chivalry 2, I think it would be, it is just really smart to let everybody just go ham on each other.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's find another one that I was really excited about. Metal Hellsinger. I had never heard of this game until the IGN event, and it's a rhythm-based first-person shooter. You play as this demon going through hell. You're kind of an anti-hero in a way, because you're slaying all the other demons, but I think the ultimate goal is to like become queen of like this realm of hell or whatever.
Badass, I can get into it.
The kick is like there's this metal music playing, and as you're killing things, you want to kill on the beat. You want to use your abilities to the beat of the music, and it increases your multiplier as you do that. And then the music gets more hardcore. So if you're doing really shitty, it's just kind of like the bass line and the drums driving you through, and then you get a little better and you get some good guitar riffs in there. Then you get a little better and the vocals kick in, and as you just go with the flow of the music, it, I don't know, because even in first-person shooters, sometimes you get that trance-like state of just going at it, and then definitely in the rhythm-based games. So combining those two with some good metal music, I think that could just be a shit ton of fun to just
bloodlust take over and let the metal seep into your bones as you rip apart demons.
Yeah, and it looks great too. Like, there's a bunch of different weapons. It's got a kind of Doom-esque feel to it, but with its own flavor. And I'm actually pretty excited. That one's coming out in 2021, current gen, next gen, and PC. So that's one to look out for. I really do think that it might not be the blowout game of the year, but if you're into killing demons and listening to some metal music, that will be a really fun game to just pop in and zone out on.
It I'm watching the trailer right now, or at some gameplay. It looks very interesting.
Yeah, the gameplay that they were showing at the IGN event, one of the questions that the interviewer asked the one of the developers was that guy really good, or is that like a normal flow for the game? And he's like, oh no, that guy was really good. Like, you won't be you will not be that good playing this game to start. Like, that was a cool showcase, but don't expect to just jump in there and start being like, have that music just playing full volume in your ears, screams, and because yeah, it was mind-blowing watching this guy play the game, and he was right on beat with everything. Even when there's not something to kill, he was pulling out this skull and like going to the beat with that. I can't even tell you like what he was doing, because I have no idea, but it just looked fucking fun.
It looks entertaining for sure.
It does. That'll be one to keep an eye on.
There's another Souls-like game coming out as well, I think, all platforms, the end of this year, called Mortal Shell. And I have a star next to that one, too. And I think that one, it is very Souls-like, but the look of it was just so crisp. It looked really great.
That's another one I'll have to take a look at. I have to say, I am fucking terrible at Souls-type games.
Yeah,
I just don't have the reaction time for it anymore.
And I understand that. It's probably the last Souls-like game that I played all the way through was Fallen Order, Jedi Fallen Order.
Right.
I really liked that style of the game in a Souls-like style. And it wasn't completely Souls-like because there were degrees of difficulty you could switch from. It just didn't throw you in this world and shit all over you throughout
the right. It felt a lot more like Souls light
yeah
than anything, but man, I just can't. I get too frustrated sitting there dying over and over playing Souls or Bloodborne or something like that. Yeah. I got through most of Fallen Order. That's another one I need to finish, but yeah, I could do it, but man, anything more than that and it's just not fun for me anymore.
I completely understand. I mean, it's like some of those harder platformers too. Look at Cuphead. Like Cuphead was controller throwing juice. Like that.
Yeah,
that game.
Yeah, that was another one where I spent like 3 hours on one map.
Yeah,
and just like quit, and then tried to go back the next day, and then make it through. And yeah, that's another one that I just don't have the patience for.
One thing about this Mortal Shell game, though, is, like I said, the look of it, some of the animation that they have in there, the armor and stuff, they have really made a really beautiful looking game. And I can't say that I'll pick it up and play all the way through either, because I'm kind of the same way where I just don't have the patience to sit there and do the same boss 120 times in a row.
Right.
You know? And it's not that I don't enjoy a challenge. I just, you know, give me a good 10 attempts and I've finally figured it out. But you get into the triple digits of attempts and you can count me out most of the time.
Yeah, but for sure.
I know several of our friends like these Souls-like games very much. So I'll be telling a couple of them about this Mortal Shell game, and maybe I can just watch them play it.
I much prefer watching one of them play it and getting frustrated.
Yeah.
Because then it's just funny.
Yeah, like watching streamers play the Souls-like games is great, because getting to the point of raging and I'm sitting here laughing, that's great fun for me.
Right, I enjoy that for sure.
Yeah, what else do I got here? Could go on to the PS5 event. There was a couple other games that IGN was showing off. There was one called Werewolf the Apocalypse Earthblood, and it was just a cinematic, and it looked pretty good about some werewolfy shit, but they showed no gameplay. It's supposed to come out this year. I don't know what it's about at all.
No gameplay coming out this year. That's not a good sign.
Yeah, I really hate seeing shit like that. I remember writing this one down going, that was a cool cinematic, but why don't I know what I'm doing in this game? If it's coming out, because it's PC, PS4, Xbox later this year.
Werewolf the Apocalypse is a World of Darkness game, just like Vampire the Masquerade. So I'm watching that launch trailer now. I mean, if it's a werewolf game in the same flavor as Vampire the Masquerade games, I am fully on board.
And I think it has potential just through the cinematic. It does, but I don't know. Maybe it's just clunky gameplay that they didn't want to show off. So, especially in events like this where you don't have E3, you don't have people play testing it, just give me a sample of your gameplay in your trailer so I can get a very small idea of what I'm actually doing in this game.
Right. Like, this is the time. Like, show off something to keep my interest. Otherwise, I guarantee I'll forget about it by the time it releases.
Like, I don't know. Seeing Elden Ring videos, I know that's just going to be a cinematic because they probably don't have much of the game really built up yet to show off. So if it's going to be a few years in advance, definitely just give me cinematics to keep me hype about it. But if it's right, coming
like,
out,
if you year, got that like teaser for months, Cyberpunk, how many years ago? Like four or 5 years ago, if not more.
Yeah, which is great. And they keep doing more with it. It was last year that they had Keanu Reeves on stage with them. You know, they just keep the hype going.
Right.
And I get that, but if it's coming out in a few months, I need to know what this game's all about. You said you're watching that trailer, David. There is it's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, I'm very interested. I'm on their site now. I'm trying to figure out more about the actual game, because like you said, the trailer gives almost zero substance.
Yeah.
It looks like a story-driven first person, maybe not a shooter, but
Right. Well, you're taking the form of this werewolf, I believe.
Yeah.
And you might be right. It might be like a Bloodlines type thing, which is cool. Which would it that has potential? I just I don't know. You're at a showcase, then showcase something for me.
Yeah. There was another trailer that I watched a little bit earlier about that I had the same feeling about. Hang on, let me try and find that game because it was posted on the Games Reddit.
While you're looking for that, I'll bring up another one that looked pretty cool, but we're not going to get for a while, is a game called Second Extinction. And this is one that they showed a lot of gameplay of. And it's a 3-player co-op versus dinosaurs next-gen game. And it looked like it could be pretty fun. It was like this weird world of mutating dinosaurs that just kind of started popping up out of the ground. And you just go through and battle them. They didn't want to call it like fully open world. They called it big map game, which is cool. So you can go kind of anywhere, but you gather your team and then you choose where to drop in on this map to do different stuff. I'm not quite sure what that is yet. They didn't touch too much on it. He was alluding to certain things like different missions and stuff, but there wasn't a lot given on that, but it was a pretty cool looking game. I gotta say, like for
yeah, some, it basically looks like a squad based, I would assume, like you said, there's going to be some kind of objective, some mission.
Yeah.
It looks almost like a drop in, finish your mission and then get out.
Yeah. That's the thing. I think that's what they're doing is you get your three guys together. Your leader picks where to drop in on the map for the specific mission. You go do it and you get out and you make, yeah, I don't know, kind of like a Escape from Tarkov type thing, but
right. Which speaking of
PvP, like
very similar to the Icarus announcement.
Oh yeah.
Did you see that for the new game from the DayZ developer?
Yeah.
Basically like an open world, drop in on the planet, do your mission, and get out MMO. It's interesting that there's multiple games with that similar gameplay.
Yeah,
and pretty much at the same time.
You know, as much as I like Dean Hall and everything, I just have such a bad taste in my mouth from DayZ. I wanted that game to be so good. I wanted so much out of it. And I played, I have over 1,000 hours in that game probably. And it holds a special place in my heart, but they full released it and it's a big steamy pile of dog shit. And it really makes me sad. So, but Dean Hall did leave that project. He left Bohemia Interactive to work on other stuff. And maybe it was this Icarus game. So perhaps this is the better thing he was working on, but still, I read Dean Hall's name and it leaves a bitter taste in my mouth.
Yeah, that's understandable. I get that completely.
I got to kind of look forward to Icarus on my heels a bit, you know.
It's definitely one of those wait and see games for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I got another one of those that I want to talk about, but did you find that game you wanted to talk about, David?
Yeah, Little Devil Inside.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I saw that one and the animation is really cool.
It looks gorgeous, but looking at the showcase trailer, they call it, there's no substance there. I got no impression for what the object of the game is, how you play the game.
Yeah, I remember taking notes on that one, too. I wrote that one down because that was during the PS5 event, I believe. And yeah, my note here is great art, looks fun. And that's all I could really write about that. I do feel like the PS5 event just kind of blew through stuff a lot more quickly than the IGN or some of these other events that had been going on. So my notes on them are not quite in depth as my other ones. But I do remember seeing the art style of that one and thinking that it looked pretty dang cool.
Right. The art looks fantastic. I'm seeing it. It's been described as like a survival action RPG. With like a paper mache aesthetic. Someone called it a Victorian era version of Monster Hunter. It was actually introduced on Steam Greenlight like 5 years ago. So it's something that's definitely been in development quite a while.
It's definitely something to keep your eye on. The art style itself, I think, is drawing enough that if they hit the gameplay at least a little bit, it should be a pretty cool game.
there is already a bit of controversy over that game, apparently. There were some characters in the trailer that could be construed as a bit racist.
Yeah, I'm looking at that now. There's an article from like 5 hours ago on Game Rant talking about racist stuff.
Well, so it seems like some of them look like some of the characters look like caricatures of indigenous tribes. They've already apologized for it. We'll see whether or not they get removed from the game or not.
I don't know. But looking at the game, and you know, I can't be like, I don't want to be misconstrued as a racist sympathizer, but the art style of the game and the art style of these little creatures, it, I don't know. It's like going back and saying the Mario Goombas looked too much like a specific race, and now Mario has to apologize for that. Like, I highly doubt that these people making this game really were going off on a racist kick and putting racist undertones in their game. I'm glad they did apologize, but
I mean, I hardly ever, I think it's actually like overt and intentional, but combination of dreadlocks, dark skin, the big bold red lips.
Oh,
it might be a bit much.
I didn't see the characters now what that you're describing. Well,
I'll send you a picture over to you guys. Check it out in the Discord. You can take a look. It's a bit much.
Crossing the line. So yeah, I'll retract what I said because that sounds like you should have known not to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like, I feel like away. The big red lips.
Shit! Why the fuck did they do that?
I don't think that was all right when Al Jolson was doing it, but here we go.
Yeah. Okay, guys, you should have toned that down. You want to put like tiki masks on them or something like that? Banjo Kazooies or.
There's plenty of good examples of tiki masks, sans big red lips.
Yeah, and dreadlocks and stuff like that. Okay, so yeah, I'll take back what I said because those guys look pretty terrible. Change that before you release the game. Another one I took notes on, and I think it was mostly because I think it looked kind of funny. Did you guys ever play the Yakuza games?
No.
Never played it myself, but I heard great.
There's another one coming out, Yakuza Like a Dragon, but instead of that running around the city beat 'em up shoot 'em up type game, it is a turn-based RPG. And you gather your squad of misfits and gangsters, and you go around the city like doing RPG stuff, and there's all the different mini, because Yakuza's fully known for its mini games, different races and gambling and shit like that. So there's all that stuff, but it's in this like goofy turn-based RPG where like in the videos I was watching, one of the characters like is beating people up with her purse, and one of them's carrying around a guitar that he slams on people's heads. Like it just looks goofy as hell. And I don't know if it'll stay true to the Yakuza games at all, because I didn't really play them either. And I've seen them and I've heard great things about them. This looks really goofy, but not too terrible. I think it'd be super skeptical of
the Mario and Rabbids Kingdom game for the Switch.
Yeah,
but man, it was fantastic. So I get that. Take something that has a traditional fan base with its one kind of gameplay, turn it on its head, and see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, I might not pick this game up, but I'll probably look around for some streams of it when it comes out, because it looks it looks like a very entertaining game.
Always down for that.
And brushing over that one, I remember seeing this one at the last E3, and they just had a cinematic video of this, but they put some gameplay in it this time, and it's a game called Ghostwire Tokyo. It's a new IP coming to the PS5, and it looks pretty freaking cool. I remember watching the cinematic trailer, and it was a very similar thing as what we were saying about Werewolf the Apocalypse, where it was a great cinematic, but I had no idea what the game was actually about, which was fine because it's still not supposed to come out until like 2021-22, I think.
Yeah, it looks like 2021.
But it actually looks really freaking cool. The style of it, the city that you're running around in. I don't know much about the story still, but it does look pretty freaking sweet.
Right. See, I'm fine with that. Like, I'm fine with a nice teaser.
Yeah. No, I was very happy. Year
wait, like, I'm all for that for sure. Yeah, yeah, and this one looks very interesting.
I was very happy with the cinematic they did last E3, and then the upgrade to a little bit of gameplay in this PS5 event. So yeah, I'm right there with you where it's like, all right, you got my interest peaked. I'm ready to see more of this game.
The only thing that gives me any pause is it looks like it's a Bethesda game.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. And man, they've just seemed to have fallen off a cliff over the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's kind of disappointing. I might not look too closely at that, but I'll still keep an eye on it. But,
it's another one, yeah. Wait and see.
Did you see that one at all, David? Did you see any videos of that?
I'm watching the trailer right now, and it looks like it's got like a Fear vibe to it.
Did you guys yeah, kind of
like Fear, almost maybe Infamous kind of vibe. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I like the art style. The city looks great. Yeah, I'm gonna keep my eye on that one. I think that's something to definitely be aware of. Another one coming out this year is Godfall. Have you guys seen anything on that?
I have not. That's a new one to me.
It looks really cool. It looks really pretty. It looks almost like cross between God of War and Monster Hunter World in a way. And I really like the look of it.
And this one looks like it's going to be PS5 exclusive. I know that's pretty what we're on mostly today, but
this is
PS5 exclusive.
I'm looking at my PS5 notes. Yeah, right now. Sorry, I should have said something about that earlier. Yeah, this one is PS5 exclusive. Once again, Sony coming through, PlayStation coming through with the exclusive titles that are actually interesting to me. You know.
Yeah, when I was looking through the headlines earlier, I was just seeing Sony, PS5. What does Xbox have right now?
It's their flagship game. Still, they're pushing out the Series X with Halo, and you know, as much as I love Halo, you got to do something else, boys. We got to get something else. Sony's been killing it. God of War, Spider-Man, which I can also mention, Miles Morales. Holy fuck. It's going to be amazing. It's another PS5 title Horizon coming Zero out.
Dawn.
Yeah, and they've got a second one coming out for PS5. Yeah. So they've got just this broad catalog of their exclusive titles, and I feel like...
It seems to me like Xbox has some very serious catching up to do if they want to even contend this holiday season.
They're slacking. You know, the only other comparison to exclusive titles would be Nintendo, and that's just a completely different league of its own anyway, in my opinion. You know,
right. There are going to be a few. Xbox has announced a few new IPs for for exclusive titles, but the problem is I can't remember any of them off the top of my head, which is a bit of a problem.
I think back on the Xbox exclusive titles and it's like, well, I can remember Halo. I know they've got a couple more coming out, but I don't have any notes on any Xbox exclusives. I can tell you that right now.
Right, so, not at the moment, yeah. Like, there are a couple, like, I remember there was one called Scorn that looks pretty decent.
Yeah.
Like a first-person adventure game. There's a sequel to Hellblade that Ninja Theory is developing.
I didn't see that.
Okay.
Hellblade. Which looks pretty great.
Yeah, that's cool.
Halo Infinite, obviously. I'm sure at some point in the life cycle we'll get a new Gears of War. But you know, other than that, there's just not that much to look forward to at the moment.
That's their problem, is they're just driving home these titles that we've had too much of already. You know, I liked Gears of War back in the day, but it was somewhere around Gears of War 3 that I was like, you know, I don't really got to play this anymore. And the same thing with Halo, you know, after Halo 3, it was like, okay, I might pick it up when it's on sale or something, but that's not a game I got to have.
And Gears of War 5 just dropped. There's not going to be another Gears for the new Xbox unless they want to re-release the fifth one, and people are not going to be impressed with that.
Yeah, right. I mean, they're already not impressed with Rockstar coming to the PS5 event with a big announcement, and it was just fucking
Grand Theft Auto
GTA 5
yeah.
being put on PS5. It's like, no, that's not what we wanted. Give us GTA 6 or shut the fuck up.
It's now across three console generations. And
yeah, we made the jokes about Skyrim, and Rockstar's just following suit with that. I don't need it on every single device there is.
That being said,
the shit out of it.
I would buy a new version of Skyrim. You have to,
buy every version of Skyrim. Do you get some kind of like achievement for having it on the most devices?
The achievement is enriched life.
Will they send you something if you buy every version?
If you power them all on at the same time, I think you wake up in the cart with the.
Oh, God.
That's the achievement. With the NPC going, you're finally awake, huh?
As soon as they release their like 20th year edition, where it's like released on literally everything that you can play it on, then you power it up, then you wake up in the cart, and that's your achievement.
There you go.
But yeah, back on Godfall, did you guys check that one out at all? Because the gameplay and the art style looks pretty fun. For being another exclusive, I think they're just taking off with some of these great idea games, these new idea games, rather than giving
let's try something new,
giving
and see
us
what happens.
A number five or a number six in the same series that we've already been playing. You know, I love Master Chief, but do I really need more Master Chief in my life? You know,
infinite Master Chief.
So yeah, another one that I think is coming out in 2021. I don't know if this one is PS5 exclusive, but I have the note on here about awesome art style, because I do remember seeing the trailer for this. It's called Solar Ash, and it looks super awesome. The art style of this one is unlike a lot of games. I can't think of a game that looks like this right now, and it just looks super cool. And they've got that going for them too over at PS5 of the cool factor. They've got the very striking stuff to me.
Yeah, it looks very like vaporwave almost. So that was a big inspiration for the art style. That looks definitely something to check out.
Rollerblading through a black hole.
Yeah, there's kind of looks wild like shit it. Happening. And I think it's got some pretty good potential for just being a fun game, even if it's one of those games that, I don't know, there's PlayStation. Yeah, PlayStation Network has, so if you're subscribed, you get your free games a month or something like that. I could see this game being one of those major ones that hits that everybody wants to get on top of. I mentioned it earlier, Demon's Souls is getting a remake for, I think that's going to be PlayStation 5 exclusive, which a lot of people are going to want to play that game. Demon's Souls was a really big game of its time, and I think they're going to get a lot of people buying PlayStations just for that.
Right. Yeah, I could see that for sure. But remakes, that's another big topic that I keep seeing a bunch of games. Remakes and remasters and ground up rebuilds.
Really, really solid remasters and reboots and different stuff like that. Like, they're not just, I don't know, a couple of them have flopped. You know, I've heard terrible, terrible things about Warcraft 3 Reforge.
Right. There are some that are just, what were they thinking? Had a classic game, all you needed to do was update it and make it look better.
That's all we want from you, is better cinematics and updated gameplay. And they gave us kind of similar gameplay and slightly, I think they just like changed the aspect ratio so it looked better on 1440p. They didn't actually like update it at all. They just kind of made it more crisp. And that bugs me when these remasters come out and people are hype about them, and they're really not that great. But there are some remasters happening out there that are just flooring people. Look at Final Fantasy VII. Gorgeous.
I'm really looking forward to Destroy All Humans.
Oh, yeah.
I was a big fan of the original franchise. I played that first, the original Destroy All Humans, just a ton. Just constantly for a good summer there.
It's just mindless fun. It's such a good game, and I'm really looking forward to that.
We were talking about that earlier, the Mafia remaster or remake that they're doing. I heard it's actually a ground up remake.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. They're not just kind of reskinning it, they're they're completely redoing that whole game. They're going in with a full team and doing it. And that's exciting because Mafia is a great game too.
I've heard some really good things about the Saints Row 4 rebuild.
Oh, yeah.
That's
Saints Row is another game that, like, it's got that goofiness to it, but it's just so freaking fun. Saints Row.
Saints Row is an amazing game. Yeah, no, I was reading, like, a Forbes article or something the other day that was like, this game is what a remake should be. This is not just an update on graphics. This is not just a tweak here and there. This is a complete, from the ground up, rebuild that improves on every aspect of the game. And yeah, it made me excited to play Saints Row again.
I'm really happy that that's the majority of the stories we're hearing with these remakes. Yeah, we're getting some flops, and of course it's like Blizzard that's flopping on us, but
sadly par for the course nowadays.
Yeah, the majority of what I'm hearing about a lot of these games is that they are immaculate rebuilds, that it takes this game that you know and love and it allows you to love it again. Because I know how I'm playing The Witcher 1 right now, dude. That game is hard to play on a 1440p monitor on a mouse and keyboard. And it's like, it's not all that fun. I'm just kind of grinding my way through it just to get to the second one and then the third one. So going back and playing old games, it might sound like a good idea until you're about a quarter of the way through and it's like, I can't do this anymore.
Right. There are some that just don't hold up. Like, the nostalgia is there, but
yeah,
when you actually re-experience them, it's something completely different. It's just a major letdown.
Yeah. So getting these remasters that actually capture the nostalgia and put it all within a great game, it's the best thing for some of these gaming companies to be able to relive some of their glory games, and for us as players to be able to replay them in a new light. And it's really exciting to see what else might come out in the future with some of these reboots and remakes.
Right. The only other game I was thinking of that we haven't touched on yet was, in fact, the trailer just dropped today, was Star Wars Squadrons.
Squadrons looks freaking sick. Like,
it does. And I have been burned by EA Star Wars games a lot lately, but man, it's tough not to get excited for this one.
EA is another one of those companies where sometimes they just put out a beautiful fucking game. And it really hurts to really love some of those games put out by EA, but then they throw Anthem at us. It's like, man, you had a great concept, you had great artwork, you had great everything, and this game sucks my balls.
So bad. Hey, has anyone heard anything about I heard the Anthem was going to get a rebuild just like No Man's Sky and be...
I think they're still working on it. I haven't heard an update on that. I'm really looking forward to what they might do with it because the game has plenty of potential. It was pretty fun to fly around. The gameplay was just kind of trash. So yeah. I'm looking forward for that game to be better, but it's just, that's the EA way of either giving us something riddled with microtransactions that nobody wants to play but the whales, or a game concept that sounds really great and doesn't actually hit the mark, or it really is a really good game. And I feel like those EA games don't get enough recognition, and I really hope Squadrons ends up on that list, because
thankfully they've already announced that they will not have any microtransactions, period.
Yeah, and I like to hear that, but it's also EA.
That's true.
We're going to take all the microtransactions out of this game and this game, and yet there's still like random shit that you can
buy.
So, yes.
Definitely, looking forward to it. But I'll be reading some reviews before I pick.
Yeah, same here. And another one that I wanted to touch on that I've talked to both of you about, that as I'm reading more about it, it's not getting a lot of traction out the gate, is Amazon Games New World. It's the new MMO that they're putting out. It's coming out on August 25th, 2020. And I'm having a tough time deciding whether I'm excited or nervous for this game, because a lot of the news, the game actually looks pretty cool and it's a great concept, and I'm itching for MMO, and this is a different kind of MMO. But as I'm reading more and more of these people's speculation of what's going on, some people that have played Alpha and stuff, there's a lot of disappointment revolving around this game already. So
what makes it a different kind of MMO? Because, okay, so I found a gameplay video, and right off the bat, it just kind of looks like Ark. Survival Evolved, if either of you have ever played that game.
Yeah, I've played plenty of Ark, yeah. It takes place in 17th century North America, I believe. You don't, from what I understand from the videos I've watched, you don't go in and pick a class. It's pretty much classless, other than what you want to do with your time. If you want to be the best blacksmith, you can dive your time into being the best blacksmith. You want to be the best swordsman, you can do that. You want to be the best mage, you can do that. You just have to acquire the right gems or weapons or whatever it is to make yourself do that. So it's pretty sandboxy when it comes to character play and progression. They're really trying to make a game that forms to each player individually. And I think it's a great concept, but I also think it's a bold concept that they might not be able to achieve. And
right. There could be an issue there with the having too much customization option, that everything right. just becomes a big muddled mess.
And I think they were originally looking at having open world PvP, but so much of the game revolves around collecting materials and stuff like that to craft and do all your stuff, that I guess the potential was too high there for people to just be shitbirds and camp and kill you all the time. So I think there is going to be PvP, but it's only like battlegrounds type stuff. So you go, and I think it's supposed to be huge, like hundreds of people battling, which sounds really cool. But I don't know. There's some news I hear about it that makes me go, this is a game that I really want to play. And some news that I hear about it that I'm thinking maybe even the $40 price tag on this is too much. So I'm having a tough time getting excited or discouraged about it. I'm kind of walking that middle ground of I'm going to have to let it come out, read some reviews, and figure it out from there. Because I really
seems to be the theme of today's game announcements.
Yeah.
And maybe that's more a product of us having been burned too many times being in our 30s.
Yeah, and I mean, when did the movement start? In like 2012 of never pre-order?
Never pre-order, right.
And I'm pretty steadfast about that, you know?
Yeah, I can't remember the last game I pre-ordered.
Me neither, especially because, you know, as 16-year-old me, looking at some of these little gifts that they give you in your pre-order, it's like, ooh, shiny, cool, I get to wear this cool armor. And now it's like, I don't give a flying fuck. I'm not going to wear that. I'm going to wear that armor for 10 minutes, especially in an MMO. I'm going right. to put that on, and I'm going to find better armor, and I'm going to throw it the fuck away. So why do I want some skinned armor that I don't really care about?
Exactly.
Same with the weapons and stuff like that, whatever, like, unless it's game-breakingly good, which would be really bad for the developers to do anyway in a pre-order.
Right, then I wouldn't buy that game at all.
Yeah, so there's really no incentive for me to pre-order, other than sometimes I like to hop in on beta access, but that still kind of pisses me off that they make you pre-order to get beta access rather than I'd much rather get a random email after signing up telling me that I got beta access, you know?
Right. And isn't it both options right now?
Yes, it is. I've signed up for beta. I'm pretty sure you said you signed up for the beta.
I signed up. Yeah.
I think if you buy it right now, either through Steam or Amazon, their beta is their closed beta is starting on like July 23rd or something like that. I don't know if that's the exact date. It was somewhere around there. Maybe it's June 23rd. I know it was coming up pretty quick. If you wanted to opt in for that, but I'm just going to wait for the email or for the game to drop. I'm not in any rush to really buy this game right now.
July 23rd.
July. Okay. So yeah, that's one that I am kind of excited about and kind of, again, on my heels about. And yeah, maybe that's just gaming in your 30s. And
to be a lot more picky about where I spend my time gaming.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Looking through my notes, that's about all I had. I know we had talked about coming back around to some magic talk, but yeah, I think we should probably start to wrap this up.
Yeah,
we probably revisit the Magic topic in a week.
Part of me feels like
this isn't finished yet.
Yeah,
let it simmer a little, and we'll come back to it.
Yeah,
I think... I was looking at a couple of the comments on Reddit, and they're like, "What about this card? What about this card? What about this card?" You know, I imagine that the neckbeards that make up the Magic player base are not going to let this sit.
No, they're definitely not. It's going to keep blowing up, and it's not going to be great for them for a while. But yeah, I'd love to talk about that. I think we could get around to that next week. We'll talk about probably some more of the gaming news that'll keep coming out throughout this month. I eventually want to talk about the Summer of Pride sale this year on the Steam sale, that they're doing a lot of queer positive games is how they're titling it. So should be pretty interesting looking at what kind of titles they choose to put on sale. Yeah, you guys got anything else before we wrap up?
That's it for me.
All right.
I don't think so.
Thank you guys for listening. Check out our Discord. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Jesus1Up. That's Hezoos, the number one UP. We got Spencer_3G1Up and at Spurgling. So yeah, give us a follow. Check out our other shows, and we'll catch you guys next week. Have a good one.